We are back with another episode of the Bills Wire podcast brought to you by the USA Today Sports Media Group. I'm your host, Rob Quinn, the managing editor of BillsWire.com. Make sure you bookmark that. Connect with us on social media at the Bills Wire on Twitter, the Bills Wire on Facebook, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Audio Boom. And of course, leave that 5-star review. It is Friday, September 22nd. I'm here, as always, with Kyle Szilagyi. It's actually been a couple episodes since he's been on. How you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing well. Excited to talk about this upcoming Bills game. Should be fun to talk about how we're going to perform against the Broncos.
Yeah, I know in the last podcast we kind of touched on the Panthers loss. That was obviously an ugly game, losing 9-3. On the last second play, there's a lot of debate about the Tyrod throw to Zay Jones. The offense played terribly, 176 total yards. Tyrod Taylor was really the big talking point of the week. Before we get into the Broncos game, just what were your quick takeaways on Tyrod and the offense overall?
Yeah, the offense was awful. It was just, it was so sad to watch. Like, they didn't take a snap in the Panthers' side of the field until the second half. And people can blame Zay Jones for the loss as much as they want. The bottom line is, the Bills didn't deserve to win that game. When you, 176 yards on offense total? That was, if you're only getting that and you're not taking a snap in the opponent's side of the field until the second half, you're not going to win many football games. And a rookie dropping a pass at the 1-yard line on the final play of the game, I mean, when you're only getting 100 and something offensive yards, you can't blame that on one receiver.
Yeah, I agree completely. And really, 50-something of those yards came on that final drive. And whose fault was it? I mean, they were running the smash concept against a cover two. A lot of people were saying Tyrod should have thrown that higher and outside. I mean, some others said that Zay had to adjust to it and he should have held on. So we'll never know, really. But at the end of the day, the Bills are 1-1. Their run game was a major issue. Tyrod Taylor, I believe he had 55 yards to lead the team. LeSean McCoy, probably the worst performance of his career, 9 yards on 12 carries, 0.8 yards per attempt. And now they're going up against the Broncos, who have allowed just 104 rushing yards on the year. We saw them hold Ezekiel Elliott to just 8 yards last week when they won 42-17, I want to say. So we saw Eric Wood talking and a lot of discussion about the new scheme with the Rick Dennison's zone blocking scheme, and that the Bills really have offensive linemen that are built for a man gap blocking scheme. I mean, big, physical, 330, 340 pound guys that are more maulers than those agile guys that can really kick out to the second level and really run those outside zones and inside zones that Rick Dennison loves to run. So do you think that is the scheme, the players, or was it just the Panthers playing really well?
It's probably a combination of all of that, but it's, I think more so it's the Panthers. They just played really well, their defensive line did. Because LeSean McCoy was everywhere against the Jets. Granted, it's the New York Jets, but LeSean McCoy, he was one of, if not the best, running backs in the league in that game, in the first game of the season. So I think it's a bit too early to say that it's a scheme issue with the offensive line after one amazing game from the running back, or just the running game in general, and then a poor outing in which the two running backs combined for 14 yards. But LeSean McCoy, I don't care. It's one game where he rushed for 9 yards. So I'm not going to say the sky is falling after one bad game from him and the offensive line. But I guess we'll really see this week how it'll all turn out, because Broncos have a talented defense in general. So it'll be interesting to see if LeSean McCoy can have a Jets-esque performance or if he has two back-to-back poor outings.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Broncos are one of the best run-defending teams, really one of the best defensive teams in the NFL. They're fourth in total yards per game, allowing 258.5 yards, fifth in yards per play with 4.2. And similar to the Bills, they're holding their opponents at under 3 yards a carry with 2.9. So it's definitely going to be a tough task. You got Von Miller, obviously, and they use that kind of big dime formations with the 2-4-5 or a 1-4-6, really. They show a lot on defense with Wade Phillips, and they have a big front that can really shut guys down. And a lot of people said that the Cowboys really abandoned the run when they started falling behind, but that's going to be something to watch, because LeSean McCoy, he said it himself, he said, "I want the loot, baby." I mean, they gave him $2.5 million in incentives, and 2 weeks later, he rushes for 9 yards. So that would be something to watch going forward. But the really biggest storyline here is going to be Tyrod Taylor. How can he bounce back, especially when you're going against the Broncos secondary, one of the best in the NFL, the no-fly zone with Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, and Bradley Roby, who's also a young guy. I mean, Chris Harris is one of the best nickel corners in the NFL, and he has been. This season, he's been targeted 12 times. He's allowed just 4 catches for 28 yards. Quarterbacks are have a 35.4 passer rating against him. Then you have Aqib Talib, who's just a beast. And he's, I believe, the number one cornerback, according to Pro Football Focus. He's only allowed 8 catches. And he had a pick six last week that he ran back 103 yards. So this is going to be a tough test for Tyrod. And what do you think that he needs to do to kind of silence some of those critics?
It's going to be a long week. That's all I think. NFL.com just published an article, their cornerback power rankings. And both of Denver's top two corners, Talib and Harris, they're in the top five. So it's just, that's not going to be fair, especially against a Bills receiving core that has combined for 11 catches, I think, this season. I think, like, all of our receivers have 11 catches.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to utilize, it's the buzzword with Tyrod, the middle of the field. That's where it's going to be a challenge everywhere, but I think Charles Clay is going to be his go-to target this week, as he was in week one against the Jets. But I honestly see the offense just having trouble getting going in this game again, just because their secondary is so talented, just their defense in general is so talented. So I think we're going to see pretty much a repeat of the Panthers game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another defensive battle, but you made a great point that he's going to have to use the middle of the field. I mean, that's really their weak spot. Brandon Marshall, he was one of the top linebackers just a year or two ago. Now he's ranked number 41 on Pro Football Focus, and he's allowed 8 catches, 58 yards, another 46 after the catch. They've been rotating safeties in. Their highest rated safety is 36. Then you have Jarian Thompson, who's 54th in coverage, and then Will Parks, who's 34th. They've combined to allow 11 receptions for 85 yards and a touchdown. So I think that's really what you're going to have to do, is utilize Charles Clay and kind of try to use Jordan Matthews, who runs most of his routes out of the slot, and kind of use a dink and dunk offense and get Tyrod on those rollouts and kind of away from Von Miller too. We haven't even gotten to him yet. I mean, he is a game changer. He had 12 pressures against the Dallas Cowboys, who everyone says has probably the best offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, Von Miller's going to have himself a day. If you have the Broncos defense in fantasy football, start the Broncos defense this week. Because as you've written in articles and just Twitter recently, he's going up against Jordan Mills this week, which is going to be really bad. It's Tyrod. If the offensive line doesn't stand up, Tyrod's going to be on the ground a few times.
Definitely. And Von Miller, they use him, they move him around the formation a lot. So that's a guy that they're going to have to identify where he is before the snap. Tyrod's going to have to be smart, make his checks, change his protections up. And then you have Shaq Barrett, who's really one of their unsung heroes. On Pro Football Focus, they're 1-2 in pass rush productivity. I mean, Von Miller has 16 total pressures. Barrett has 3. He was an undrafted free agent in 2014. He kind of was behind DeMarcus Ware and then Shane Ray. But now with those guys gone, he stepped up and he in a big way. And he's a good run defender as well. And with Cordy Glenn's ankle issue, we might see Jordan Mills and Deion Dawkins as the bookends. And that is a recipe for disaster, especially after playing the Panthers and seeing how bad Tyrod was really running for his life and they weren't able to get the run going.
Yeah, you're making me scared, man. I'm really nervous now for this game. It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, and now offensively, these are very similar teams. They're really built similarly. I mean, the Bills don't have the star power on defense that they do or at the wide receiver position. But, I mean, Trevor Siemian is leading the NFL in touchdowns. He's been a good game manager, throwing for 450 yards. But he has 6 touchdowns, completing 65% of his passes. He's doing what he needs to do. And then they have Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, who are big-time guys. And they're, I believe, the number one rushing offense in the league. C.J. Anderson and Jamal Charles, those guys are still making plays. I believe C.J. Anderson, he's number one in the elusive rating by a lot, forced 11 missed tackles. has the second most yards after contact. He's getting over 3 yards after contact. So the Bills' front seven is really neither going to come up and play just like they did last week.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's just going to be a challenge all over the field. I keep saying it, but I mean, the Bills are praised for their run offense, but the Broncos are objectively better this season. So it'll be interesting to see if our defense can limit them. They've done well in run defense throughout the year so far. You know, they limited Matt Forte and then they limited Stewart last week. So, but I don't.
And McCaffrey as well.
Yeah, and McCaffrey. So we'll see if they can do it this week. I'd like to think they can, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm most optimistic about is their defensive line, because their right tackle, Menelik Watson, is probably on that Jordan Mills level of awfulness. He's allowed 6 sacks already. Pro Football Focus, I believe it was Sam Monson, tweeted. He said only 12 tackles allowed more than 6 sacks all last year. And then Garrett Bowles, their left tackle, was carted off the field, said that he was going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He was at practice yesterday now, so we don't know his status, but this is a beat-up offensive line, and it's not really a talented one. I mean, their guards, Ronald Leary is probably the only really stud that they have, and they have Alan Barbara, and I forget what the center's name is. So I think with that rotation that they showed last week, that they'll be able to stay fresh and really pressure Trevor Siemian. And that's something that I wrote an article about today, is because he is a completely different player when he's pressured. He's one of the worst quarterbacks when he's in the NFL when he's under pressure. Under pressure, he's 6 of 16 for 86 yards. That's 37.5% completion rate. That's the second worst in the league. And a 50.1 passer rating, which is the fifth worst. So the Bills really need to capitalize on that. They can't sit back and just play zone coverage like they did last week and let Cam Newton just pick him apart over the middle. Like, they have to come after him. And I think that their offensive line is worse than Carolina's. And that's the only way that they'll be able to shut him down, really.
Yeah, I can see our defensive line playing really well. They had 6 sacks last week. I can see Jerry Hughes really doing well. I can see him getting a couple sacks. Shaq Lawson as well. As you said, the Broncos' defensive line isn't all that talented. And it's as you said, weakened as well. We'll see if the defensive line or just the front seven in general can come to play.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a true test for the Bills. I mean, it's really the first elite team, I would say, probably your playoff division round team that they're going to have to play. It's a home game. Chris Harris made a comment saying that they need to get out to an early lead because he's played in Buffalo before. He knows how loud the crowd can get. But that defense is something to be reckoned with. And I just don't know if that the Bills have the weapons to really move the ball down the field, because as we saw last week, teams are not respecting the pass at all. They know what's coming. It's going to be a 5 to 7 yard pass down the middle, a quick out to Andre Holmes, who wasn't even running to the sticks, which was just maddening. And I don't think they took a shot downfield. Matthew Fairburn tweeted that he didn't throw a pass longer than 9 yards until late in the second quarter.
Yeah, that was, as you said, it was just maddening to watch. Just the offense in general, just no risks, and they were just getting stopped. And it's just, at some point, it's like, if you're not accomplishing anything, why don't you just look downfield, go for the risk play? So hopefully, if they're not getting anything done offensively, which is a real possibility, hopefully they do just start to look down the field and just see what can happen. But I don't know. I really don't have confidence in this offense because last game just destroyed me.
Right. And I mean, even if they're taking a shot down the field once or twice a half, just to keep them honest, because the Panthers were just inching closer and closer and closer to the line of scrimmage. They were just bringing the heat and they were wrapping up immediately. I mean, I don't think the Broncos have the speed at the linebacker position that the Panthers do to defend those short and intermediate routes. But you have to go downfield and keep them honest. And that's something that that Buffalo didn't do. I think maybe that Rick Dennison, with his familiarity with the personnel there, they were saying they're picking his brain and everything. But it's going to be a true test. But going back to the defense, we're going to have Tre'Davious White, E.J. Gaines defending Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Now, Demaryius Thomas has been a model of consistency. I mean, people almost just kind of forget how good he is. I was looking, he had 5 straight years, at least 90 catches, 1,000 yards, a couple 10-plus touchdown seasons, and he's going to be up against Tre'Davious White, who has, and Demaryius Thomas is 6'3", 230. White is 5'10", 180. So it's going to be a difficult matchup for him, and they're going to have to do something with the safeties, whether it's Jordan Poyer, who's played really well, or Mika Hyde, where you can kind of bracket him or roll a guy over the top. But then you have Emmanuel Sanders, who can run those routes from the slot and those crossers over the middle. We saw the Bills get killed by those as well. It's a tough matchup to think about just across the board.
Exactly. It's just, I was excited about the game going into this podcast, but now I'm just kind of like, oh God. But the secondary as a whole's done pretty well this season, surprisingly, mm-hmm. because that was a group of weakness we all thought going into the season. Trey White, I think he's the top ranked rookie corner by Pro Football Focus. And as you said, Jordan Poyer has been the surprise of the season thus far. Just two sacks, couple pass deflections as well. Just pretty much an unheard of name from Cleveland last season, lacerated his kidney. Then he comes in and he's top ranked safety in the league. But they haven't faced the toughest competition yet, which could attribute to that, or could help that, I should say. And now this week they're going up against Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. So we'll see if the secondary, I mean, this is really the do or die for the secondary. Are they actually the talented group that they've looked like, or is it just a matter of they're just stronger than the competition that they've had thus far, and this week's going to be, they're going to show their true colors.
So what are your, say, top two or three matchups that you're really looking forward to watching?
Probably Tre'Davious White versus Demaryius Thomas. That's my big one, because if we limit Demaryius Thomas, it's not like their offense isn't going to find other ways, because obviously they will. But that would give me a lot of confidence in Tre'Davious White moving forward. Just he locked down one of the better receivers in the league. That would be really reassuring for me. And then I just want to see how our receiving core as a whole does against this Denver secondary, because I am not expecting good things, because our receiving core as a whole hasn't looked very strong at all this season. They're going up against arguably the best secondary in the league. So if they can, I don't expect them to show a lot of promise this week, but if they can, like, I don't know, maybe get more than, as a whole, reel in more than five passes or five catches, I would be happy with that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. I think the spread is only 3 points in favor of the Broncos, and the point total's at 40. So it's probably going to be very similar to last week. It's going to be a lot of three and outs. There's not going to be a lot of scoring, just because of the talent on the defense and that their quarterbacks really can't get the ball down the field. But I think Jordan Matthews is going to be a key to the game against Chris Harris, because he's really their number one guy, and they need him to make plays. Tyrod's longest pass was 15 yards, and he had two of those, both to Jordan Matthews. They need more out of him. They need more out of Zay Jones. We don't know if it's going to be Brandon Tate or Kalen Clay, but that wide receiver group is depleted and ugly right now. And defensively, I think Shaq Lawson kind of had his coming out party last week, and I think he could do that again, especially against Menelik Watson. He had 5 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for loss. I think Pro Football Focus has him as the number one run defender now among defensive ends. So I think he can have a game for himself, and I think that if the defense can hold up, then the Bills might be able to stay in it. But it's really going to be just defense and shutting down the run and getting LeSean McCoy back on track, because that's their formula for winning. Tyrod's not going to win you games by himself. He's going to keep you in them, which is what we saw last week when he had them within a touchdown for the majority of the game.
Yeah, you're 100% right with the, I mean, our defense, or not our defense, our offense is completely one-dimensional. I mean, when the opponents can stop LeSean McCoy, we don't have an offense, hence why we scored one field goal. If LeSean McCoy can get going, yes, our offense, I mean, then we're in position to succeed, because if our one, you know, elite offensive player can get going, we're going to be in a good position to win the game. But if Denver can limit McCoy, which I can't imagine them doing, I think it's going to be another long week for the Bills.
All right, so what's your prediction? Give me a score prediction for Sunday.
I'll go 21-6 Denver.
21-6. So is that two field goals, or is Hauschka going to shank one?
No, Hauschka's going to be money. He's going to make two field goals.
All right, I'm going to go 28-10 Denver. I think this is going to be the day that the secondary gets exposed. I think Demaryius is going to have another big day, and I think Von Miller is just going to destroy Jordan Mills.
We do have some quick Facebook and Twitter questions before we go. One is from Susan Crowley on Facebook. She asks, when will McDermott realize the truth and bench? Awful Tyrod. So, Rob, when is McDermott going to realize the truth and bench awful Tyrod?
I don't think awful Tyrod is getting benched. I think they do like Nathan Peterman, but as you all know, I wasn't his biggest fan in preseason. I think that fire around him kind of cooled down after the second game when he kind of fell back down to earth. He made a couple good plays, and you know, you liked what you saw. But he was a fifth-round draft pick for a reason. I've said this over and over and over and over and over again. Everyone's saying, oh, well, if you're tanking, then put him in. But if this is a guy that you want to develop, I don't think that you want to put him in and ruin the limited skill set that he has. You want him to learn the offense, kind of get familiar with the concepts that they run. And right now, I just think they're pretty much done with Tyrod. We see he has no receivers to throw to. The offensive line isn't playing well, and why would you subject a rookie? We see this happen all the time where you put a guy in a bad situation, and they just get shell-shocked, and the career is ruined. So I think as much as I like Tyrod, he's probably gone after the season, but I don't think they're going to bench him because Nate Peterman's not going to take them to the playoffs. I don't think that's a goal for the team right now. And I just think that Tyrod gives you the best chance to win. If you bench Tyrod, how does that go over in the locker room, especially that he was voted a captain?
Right. And especially just from a wanting to win every game standpoint, I don't see why you would bench the guy that worked with the first team offense throughout the entire summer. He was, from early on, it was said, this is the starter. McDermott, I think he said in one of his opening press conferences that Tyrod's the guy. So I don't understand why you would bench him for a fifth-round rookie who had a decent preseason after one poor outing. Yes, we know his limitations as a quarterback, and as you said, Rob, I think he's probably out of Buffalo after this season, but he gives us the best chance to win right now. So just from purely, you know, you want to go out there and try to win every game, Tyrod's the best option there.
Sorry, Susan. Awful Tyrod is here to stay.
Then we have another question from on Twitter from Taylor DeGeorge. He said, isn't it easier to attack the Bronco D on the ground rather than in the air? So need more Shady and less Tyrod? More Tyrod hate coming.
Oh, man. I mean, this is a good defense. They shut down the run, defend the pass just about as well as anybody in the league. So, I mean, obviously the game plan, you want to start running. But we saw the Dallas Cowboys. They had to stop and start airing it out last week because they weren't able to move the ball on the ground. And they're just a talented defense. So they're going to have to come out. I think Rick Dennison is going to be a big part of this, knowing their strengths and weaknesses on defense. But then again, they know what he does. If you were reading any of the Broncos transcripts from the coaches or the players, they were saying they do the exact same thing with a couple different wrinkles, and they run basically the same concepts as the Cowboys. So they're going to be just as ready as the Bills are.
Yeah, every game we're going to go out there and try to establish the run just because that's the foundation of our offense. But as you said, they just have a talented defense, and I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to get anything going, which is a bit sad to say, but it's the truth.
All right, so that'll wrap things up for today. Once again, subscribe to the Bills Wire podcast. Leave those reviews. Bookmark BillsWire.com for all things Bills, breaking news, analysis, insight into just about everything. If you want it, we've got it. As always, I'm Rob Quinn. You can find me on Twitter at RobQuinn619. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Bills Wire. Kyle, where can they find you, and what do you got going on at the site today and this weekend?
You can follow me on Twitter just at Kyle Selegi. As for what I'm working on, just whatever happens in the land of the Buffalo Bills. I try to cover it. We all try to cover it. And we have a very good team over there. So just make sure you check out the site.
Definitely. So thanks for listening. And as always, go Bills.